advance with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. Before this exciting adventure, a word from our sponsor, General Mills, makers of Cheerios, the ready-to-eat oat cereal that gives you go power, and Wheaties, the breakfast of champions. Present by special recording, The Lone Ranger.
When boys line up to run a race, Galloping Gordon sets the pace. He comes in first because he knows he's got go power from Cheerios. Yes, he's got go power. There he goes. He's feeling his Cheerios. Cheerios. Cheerios.
And so will you, once you're eating Cheerios every breakfast. You'll say the Cheerios taste simply wonderful, too. They're already cooked, shaped like little round O's, and just full of good toasted oat flavor. Pour out a big bowlful, add fresh milk, and pitch in. You can almost feel the go power. For a Cheerios breakfast is one of the finest ways you can get the vitamins, proteins, and minerals your body needs. A bowl of Cheerios and milk really starts your day right. Helps give you the good red blood, strong bones and muscles. Go power, you'll get it from Cheerios. Try it, and folks will say,
he's feeling his Cheerios.
With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. Are you Silver? Hooray!
Lone Ranger and Tonto had heard of smuggling down in the vicinity of Corpus Christi. In spite of the vigilance of the troopers at Fort Merrill, above Corpus Christi on the Nueces River, aliens were being brought into the country successfully.
We'll reach the outskirts of Corpus Christi by sundown.
Will we not stop at Fort Merrill?
No, I decided it's best not to make our presence known for a while. If someone at the fort is working with the smugglers...
Oh, he's savvy now.
When we make camp, we'll lay out our plan of action. All right, let's hurry. Come on, Silver.
Stop.
It was late in the afternoon when the Lone Ranger and Tonto picked up the secluded grove as a campsite. It was located near the town and at a point from which they could overlook the bay beyond.
There's a dredging barge in the bay near the mouth of the river, Tonto.
What's your plan do?
I'll disguise myself as a cowpoke. Then we'll ride into town and look around. Let's go.
A short time later, the Lone Ranger, disguised as a nondescript cowpoke, left camp with Tonto and headed for town.
Who's the scout? Who's the
Philip? Easy, scout.
Leaving Silver and Scout ground hitched between two buildings where they wouldn't attract notice, the two men entered the cafe. Tonto moved unnoticed to the back of the cafe where he stood watching as the Lone Ranger sauntered to the bar and started a conversation with the barkeep.
Say, mister, what's that flat-looking boat out there with the big wooden derrick on it? It's a strange-looking contraption.
Hey, it's easy telling you're an inland cowpoke, pardon me, if you don't know what that is. That's a dredge.
Oh, what's it for?
Well, it digs mud from the bottom of the bay, and then when the barge is loaded, they move it out close to the reef where they shovel it off.
That sure sounds like hard work to me. Must take a lot of men to do the unloading.
Yeah, that's right. It does take plenty of men. And it is hard work for anybody who doesn't like handling the shovel.
Do the men stay on that barge?
Yeah, only the crew stay on it at night. The rest of the workers are brought to town in small boats. And then the boats take them out again in the morning. Say, if you want a job, they might take you on, stranger.
Well, I do need a job.
Well, all you have to do is speak to the foreman. He employs the workers. There's the foreman and the crew now, along with some of the workers. He's the big fellow with the red hair. Name is Hank Selden, in case you're interested.
Thanks for the information, mister.
Hey, Jim, give everybody refreshments on me.
Well, I sure will, Hank.
Hey, everybody, Hank Streeton again.
Wow, hi.
What are you having, stranger?
I'll have coffee, thanks.
You better go the limit, mister. Hank's always treating the crowd. And everybody orders what he wants.
Sure, why not? You're new in town, aren't you?
That's right.
He was asking a lot of questions about the barge, Hank. I never saw one like him before.
That's so. You must have come from far inland.
Yes, I did.
He says he might be interested in getting a job.
You mean you want to work on the barge?
Well, I'd rather look around first and see what jobs are open.
Sure, sure. I'm Hank Selden, the foreman. You decide you want work, just look me up.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Selden.
Enjoy your coffee, stranger. You want anything else? Remember, it's on me.
That night, in the bright moonlight, the Lone Ranger spent considerable time scanning the bay and the shoreline through his strong binoculars. It was about 9 o'clock when he spoke to Tonto, who stood beside him.
The men are getting into two large rowboats tied to a wharf down there, Tonto.
Well, them foreman and crew may be going back to barge.
Yes, I think you're right. I'm barely able to make out 7 men. 4 in one boat and 3 in the other. They're pulling out into the bay now.
Am I able to see them now?
I want to watch when they come back in the morning, when they take the workers out.
Why do you want watch boats from barge?
Just an idea I have, Tonto. Maybe entirely wrong. Come on, no use watching any longer.
Meantime, in one of the rowboats, the foreman was talking to the 3 crew members who were with him.
Sorry to bring you back so soon, but the skipper of the supply ship is coming to the barge tonight to make arrangements for a new batch of aliens.
How many do you think he brought this time, Hank?
He's supposed to bring a dozen. Work just like it did before. His men will bring 4 of them during the night. They'll be dressed in dungarees, shirt, boots, and hat so as to look like workers. The aliens have their faces and hands splattered with mud like the others, so no one would suspect, unless he looked real close.
Well, those troopers are used to seeing muddy-looking workers coming from the barge. Like Jess said,
they won't bother us. Once we get them ashore and in the Wong's laundry shop near the dock, our job is done.
Yeah.
Well, we must have a good system for getting them north. They just seem to disappear from town.
Yeah. One of the workers got suspicious once and started asking questions. Then he disappeared. Believe me, he didn't head north either. Well, he'll know his oars, man.
All right.
I got to get to the barge to meet Carla.
Later, in his cabin aboard the barge, Hank met with the ship's captain. After making their usual arrangements, Carlos asked,
"So far, no one has been suspicious, eh?"
Nope. Everybody in town knows you bring supplies for the barge every week, and they got used to the ship laying at anchor 2 or 3 nights.
You'll make the plans very well, Senor Selden. Before dawn, after the moon is set, we shall send the first 4. You keep them hidden until you are ready to take them ashore.
Just leave that to me. I say, by the way, a tall cowpoke was asking a lot of questions early this evening about the barge.
Oh?
He came into the cafe in town. After I talked to him, I watched him close. He left with a tall Indian.
With an Indian?
Yeah. I followed him outside and watched him ride out of town on a couple of fine-looking horses. One was a white stallion and the other a paint.
Caramba! That is not good, senor.
What do you mean?
If he should be the hombre I'm thinking of, a man who usually wears a black mask.
I don't savvy.
My brother Juan was an outlaw in the territory north of here, senor. He was captured by a tall masked man and an Indian who helped the law. They ride such horses as you have tell about.
But the hombre in the cafe didn't wear a mask.
He is said to be most clever. When he captured my brother, he made himself to look like a countryman of mine, and he did not wear a mask then either.
Holy mackerel. And that could have been the same hombre in disguise, so nobody would know him, huh?
Of course.
He said he might be interested in the job on the barge. By thunder, I'm going to keep an eye open for him. And talk him into taking a job.
Oh, that is a very clever idea, senor. And once he is on the barge, the masked man who is known as the Lone Ranger will disappear forever.
The following morning, the Lone Ranger once more watched as the two boats came ashore from the barge and also when they left with the workers. That evening, he again stood on the bluff with Tonto and watched as the boats brought the workers home. Then he handed the binoculars to Tonto, saying,
Tonto, take the binoculars and see if you count the same number of men in each boat that I do.
Look.
Well, they took out 12 men this morning. Now they're bringing back 16 besides the foreman and crew.
Oh, you think other four been smuggled in?
Yes, but I'm going to make sure.
That not be easy.
The foreman said if I was interested in working on the barge to look him up. Tonto, I'm going to use the cowpoke disguise again and then take a job on that barge. I'll meet that foreman and make the arrangements tonight.
We'll continue our Lone Ranger adventure in just a moment.
All over the country, in every direction, how you doing is the question, and here's what the happy people have to say. Eating, how are we eating, and doing okay?
Okay.
Sure enough, take Midwestern Champions, for instance. When Bobby Feller takes the mound, the outfield boys sit on the ground. That Wheaties pitching leaves them there, watching batters fan the air. And when we name our Wheaties crew, Big Ted Klazuski's in there, too. He'll face those hurlers day or night and knock their fastballs out of sight. Bob Feller and Ted Klazuski both know that Wheaties magic. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Wheaties, breakfast of champions.
Keep on eating your Wheaties, and you'll be doing okay.
Okay.
Now to continue. Once more, the Lone Ranger carefully assumed the disguise and dress of a cowpoke.
Evening, Mr. Selden.
Well, howdy, stranger. Have a chair.
Thanks.
Beat two of the barge crew. This is Sam and Jess. What do you call yourself, Missy?
Reckon I'll answer to Bill. Glad to know both of you.
Howdy, stranger.
Same here, Bill.
Well, if you decide what you want to do, Bill, I'll take you on as a barge worker if you want to give it a try.
Well, I've thought it over, Mr. Selden, and I figured it might do me good to do a little hard work for a change. So I'll accept the job. How much does it pay?
15 a week. That's not bad for shoveling mud around. Well, be at the dock just below here at 7 in the morning. One of the boats will pick you up with the other workers.
I'll bet his friends won't recognize him by the time night comes. All right.
I'm plenty sure they won't, Jez. He'll be soaked with mud and water.
I know what to expect. Well, I'll see you in the morning, then. Good night, man.
Good night. Good night.
Later, as the Lone Ranger and Tonto rode back to their camp, the Lone Ranger was saying,
If I find out anything important or if anything happens, I'll give you a signal.
How will you do that?
I'll take a small mirror with me in my pocket. I'll use that to flash a signal.
Oh. Then what me do?
I'll give you the letter of introduction to the Major at Fort Merrill, 3 miles from here. It's the letter the Padre gave me.
Oh.
Tell the Major what I suspect. I'm sure he'll know what action to take. One, two, three.
Up, scout.
The following morning, the Lone Ranger, posing as a cowpoke, was taken to the barge with the other workers. He was put to work with the others, leveling the mud and silt that had been scooped into the hold of the barge the day before. Finally, at noon, a bell rang, and the men stopped work to go on the single park deck aft of the barge and to eat their noontime dinner from pails they had brought with them. The Lone Ranger had waited a chance to look over the barge. On the flat deck aft, there was a wooden superstructure containing the crew quarters and a storeroom. Just above the storeroom door, there was a grilled air vent. The Lone Ranger was out of sight of the others, so he decided to pull himself up and look through the grill.
Figures huddled against the far wall, four of them.
Looking for something, stranger? All right, get down, you cut.
Just wondered what was in there. That's all, Mr. Selden. too dark to make out anything, though.
You're not fooling me. Walk in front of me around the side of the barge and keep reaching.
Sure.
The Lone Ranger was thankful that Hank was taking him to the side of the barge facing the shore. He fervently hoped Tonto was watching the barge at that moment.
Stop here where the other workers can't see us.
Sam! Hey, Sam!
Yeah. Call me Hank?
Yeah. We caught a snooper.
Oh, just like we expected, huh?
That's right. You there. Walk along beside the superstructure till I tell you to stop.
All right.
The Lone Ranger walked slowly along the deck with Hank and Sam behind him. When he had first raised his hands, the Lone Ranger had palmed the small mirror from his pocket. He held the mirror unseen by the men behind him so that it sent reflected rays from the sun toward the shore where Tonto was watching. The Lone Ranger hoped that Tonto would know it was a signal of danger. Then Hank spoke sharply.
Stop here. Stand with your back to the wall of the superstructure.
Very well.
I'll search him, Sam, and be careful. I'll keep him covered.
All right. Look, he was carrying these two guns on him.
Yeah. Put him on the desk in the office next to my cabin.
Right.
Tonight, you and I'll stay aboard and plug him. And then bury him in the mud.
Hank and Sam locked the Lone Ranger in the storeroom with four aliens after they had bound his hands behind his back. Both the heat and the air were insufferable as the afternoon wore on. Finally, the aliens were taken out, but the Lone Ranger was locked up alone. He could hear the workers loading into the boats for the trip to shore.
Yeah, this is it. If Tonto didn't get my signal, I've accomplished nothing but my own death. I'll go down fighting.
The Lone Ranger looked around desperately. He had tried to force the knots, but Hank had tied his wrists tightly, and his efforts only served to make them chafed and sore. His eyes had become used to the dimness of the storeroom, and he searched hurriedly for something with a sharp edge to cut the cords binding him.
Must find something before they open that door. I must get my hands free.
Suddenly, his eyes rested upon an unlit lantern on top of some boxes.
That lantern, it might do it.
He knocked the lantern to the floor, smashing the glass chimney. Then, selecting a large piece of the broken glass, he managed to grasp it in his fingers by lying down and rolling almost upon it.
There, I have a big piece of the glass. Now, if I can bend my fingers enough.
Then began the tedious and painful task of sawing with the glass against the cords by bending his hands and fingers back. Once he almost gave up.
It's not going to work. But I can't give up.
Then he felt one strand break, then another. Finally, the cord parted, and his hands were free.
Now let them come.
He didn't have long to wait. As he heard footsteps approach the door, he moved to one side of it and stood breathless, ready to spring.
We'll settle that stupid Lone Ranger once and for all, Sam. I don't have a gun, so you go in first, just in case of trouble.
Hey, I don't see him, Hank.
When Sam stepped through the doorway first, going past him a little...
I'm right here.
The Lone Ranger reached out, encircling the man's neck with his arm and swinging him around toward the doorway.
Choking me!
I'll take that gun. Now this will keep you quiet.
Seeing Sam fall and realizing he was unarmed, Hank turned from the doorway and ran along the deck. The Lone Ranger followed. He fired a warning shot after the fleeing man. Then as Hank started up a narrow wooden ladder leading to the roof of the superstructure, the Lone Ranger aimed at his legs and again pulled the trigger. The gun he had taken from the smuggler, Sam, was empty. Tossing the empty gun aside, the Lone Ranger ran to the ladder and started climbing. As he jumped from the top of the ladder to the roof of the cabins, the Lone Ranger paused a moment to look around. It was then that Hank sprang from behind a raised skylight. The two men fought furiously. Neither had a chance to get up, and as they struggled, they rolled to the edge of the roof. Hank managed to break loose momentarily. He realized he was no match for the Lone Ranger, and his one thought was to get away. He got to his feet and jumped to the narrow deck below.
You'll not get away.
The Lone Ranger jumped, landing almost on the crook, and once again the two fell together. Then as Hank rolled to an advantageous position on top of the Lone Ranger, he pulled a knife from his belt and raised it high, ready to plunge it downward. The Lone Ranger grappled with him, grasping his wrist. For a moment, muscles bulged, and beads of perspiration appeared on the foreheads of both men as Hank slowly forced the shining blade downward by adding his body weight to the strength of his arm. Then the Lone Ranger suddenly drew one knee up quickly, planted a foot against Hank, and shoved.
This will do it!
The knife fell from Hank's hand, and his body flew backward to the deck. At the same time, the Lone Ranger sprang to his feet and leaped, landing with breathtaking force on top of the crook.
You're through. I'll finish this now.
I'll get to your feet.
No, wait. I can't do all that.
The troopers have moved in on your friends. They landed with a smuggled alien.
Carlos will get away with the ship.
So, look out there. A naval vessel moving in on the ship.
Hank watched hopelessly as the troopers battled his men at the dock, and as the naval vessel splintered Carlos's ship with well-placed cannon shots. In a few moments, it was all over.
Your smuggling days are through, Selden. You're going to your office with me while I pick up my own guns. If you make one false move...
No, I can't take it anymore.
After I get my guns, we'll pick up your friend Sam. Then we'll take a small boat and go ashore. All right, get moving.
Later, after the Lone Ranger had reached shore with his two prisoners, and they'd been taken by the troopers, the Major from Fort Merrill stood with the Lone Ranger and Tonto as a curious crowd from the cafe looked on.
Well, sir, you did a fine job. Frankly, we were worried about you.
I was somewhat worried myself, Major, for a time.
I expected to see you wearing a mask, but Tonto explained about your disguise. When he received your signal and came to the fort, I dispatched a courier up the coast a few miles, where I knew that naval vessel was docked, waiting for just such a call.
I think the smuggling will stop now, Major. You and the Navy seem to have caught them all.
Not to mention that you brought in the ringleader. Thanks for all you've done.
We're glad we could help, sir. Todd and I'll head back toward Eagle Pass now. I hope we meet again sometime. Adios, Major.
Goodbye and good luck.
I see you brought Silver along, Toto. All right, let's go.
Easy, Scout.
I beg your pardon, Major, but I've seen that hombre at the cafe. I even talked to him. I notice you treating him like somebody important. Yes, who is he, anyhow?
My friend, he's extremely important to the West. There isn't a braver American alive than the Lone Ranger.
Copyrighted feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated is produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Foy. Listen to The Lone Ranger, brought to you by special recording Mondays through Fridays at this same time.